Look Inside, Chapter 4, Not Alone. Sam returned into the cabin, leaving Dean to collect himself in the rain. Dean stood out in the rain, allowing the clean water to drench his clothes, hair, and face. His jaw ached from where the muscles had been stretched beyond their endurance. A dull pain also lingered in his throat from where his esophagus had been stretched beyond its capacity. The feeling of the worm stretching his throat lingered, along with the creature's horrible taste, a mixture between vomit and rotten eggs. The worst, worse than the ache in his jaw and throat, was the feeling of the creature's slime being built up behind his teeth as the worm scraped its way past. Just the thought of the slime build up in his mouth made Dean want to vomit. Walking into the trees, Dean bent over and vomited any and all of the remains the worm left behind. When he was finished, he sat on a nearby log with his face in his hands. The rain was still pouring down, and the temperature outside had to be in the low 40s, or 5 Celsius. Dean was freezing, his skin covered in goosebumps, small shivers vibrating through his body, but he didn't care. Freezing meant that he was away from the fire, away from the worm, away from the maggots, and away from that smell. A thought crossed his mind, and Dean wondered if he would be better off sleeping in the car. Yes, definitely better off sleeping in the car, away from the sulfuric-scented fireplace covered in yellow maggot ooze. He was already nauseous enough, he didn't need the fireplace adding to it. Dean lowered his hands from his face and leaned his forearms on his knees. The pitter-patter of the rain hitting the tree leaves was doing its job to calm him down. With a sigh, he shook his head. He should have guessed the thing came from the water. In the poem, the worm lived in the well. He was never going to hear the end of this from Sam. After all that he had said, after the two-tailed coin, thank God Sam didn't know about that, after all the quilts of green eggs and ham, after all that, Dean, not Sam, but Dean, had been the one to vomit the lantern worm. Dean whined into the air. Sam was never going to let him live this down. With a sigh, Dean stood up and put on his game face, to ready himself for whatever Sam had prepared for him. Shaking some of the water off his body, Dean walked forward and re-entered the cabin. Immediately, the sulfuric smell hit him, and he considered fleeing to his Impala. But first thing was first. Before he could flee, he would need dry clothes, and therefore his bag. Sam looked up at him as he entered. "Dean, you okay now?" Dean rolled his eyes. There were moments when Sam truly sounded like he was 5 years old. Patronizing his brother, Dean answered back, "Yes, Sammy, I'm okay now." Sam picked up on his brother's sarcasm and glared. "You don't have to be such an ass about it. I was just asking, considering about 10 minutes ago you were passing out due to lack of oxygen." Dean shrugged and made his way over to his bed to get his bag. His sneakers squished with every step. "So what do we do now?" Dean turned back to his brother. "About what?" Sam rolled his eyes and motioned towards the bucket. "About the lantern worm? Dean, we're no better off now than we were before we visited the diner. And how come that worm was so big? From the way the girl in the cafe described it, she never said anything about it being solid or filled with maggots or stopping her breathing." Dean gave his brother a sarcastic grin. "Maybe I got a rotten one." Sam exhaled loudly, frustrated at his brother's lack of an answer. Dean cut him off. "What the hell do you want from me, Sam? I don't have all the answers here, okay? We both have the same amount of information. Why don't you use your brain and figure it out for yourself?" Looking back to his bed, Dean picked up his bag and made his way to the cabin door. Sam stepped back, surprised by Dean's verbal attack. His eyes trailed Dean as he walked to the door. At the door, Dean turned back to his brother. "When you figure it out, let me know. I'll be sleeping in the car." Sam blinked in confusion. "What? Why?" But Dean was already exiting. Sam jogged to catch up to his brother, catching him just before the door closed. "Dean, wait a second. Why are you sleeping in the car?" Dean sighed and moved back into the cabin in order to shield his bag from the rain. "The smell, Sam? I don't need to spend all night reliving what may have been the most disgusting moment of my life." Sam smiled, unable to help himself. "Yeah, you're right. It does smell like green eggs in here, doesn't it?" Sam laughed at his own joke, and Dean grumbled under his breath as he glared at his brother. "That's not fair, kicking a man when he's down." Sam raised his brows. "Like that would have stopped you." He put his hand on his brother's shoulder. "What can I say, Dean? I learned from the best." Dean glared again and threw his brother's hand off his shoulder. "Dude, don't compliment me while you're mocking me." Sam grew confused at Dean's behavior. He understood Dean's unhappiness regarding the incident, but Dean was acting considerably more grumpy and short-tempered than Sam would have expected. "You sure you're okay, man?" Dean rolled his eyes at his brother's never-ending concern. "Sam, I'm fine. I'll see you in the morning." And with that, Dean left the cabin and made his way to the car. Sam stood in the open doorway, watching his brother get pelted by the rain as he walked his way through puddles and down the forest trail. After a few seconds, Dean was out of eyesight, and Sam walked back into the cabin. Walking around the cabin, Sam began opening all the windows in an attempt to help rid the smell from the cabin. Water came in through the windows, but it was clearly the lesser of the two evils. Looking back at the fireplace, Sam noticed the fire was dying. Grabbing one of the logs that Dean had brought into the room, Sam walked over to the dying flames. The smell was stronger here, and the yellow ooze that once was thousands of maggots was no longer bubbling, having since hardened. Sam did his best to breathe through his mouth and not his nose as he added the new log to the fire. He poked the fire with the poker and reflected on how much he hated fire. It really was ironic to Sam that he would find himself in a position where he would willingly be setting a fire in his room before going to sleep. How many nights had he woken with a start, fearing that he would see flames sharing the room with him? And now here he was, stoking a fire and hoping that it wouldn't go out too soon into the night. Sam put down the poker, made his way to his bag, and took out a fresh pair of boxers and a t-shirt. The crawling sensation left by the maggots still visited Sam every now and then, and he would have loved nothing more than to take a shower. But given the status of the water in the town, it wasn't worth the risk. Chances were that Danny's bunkhouse, being 10 miles from Molly's diner, probably had a different water source, especially since, as Dean had pointed out, the two waters were different colors. However, showering in brown water wasn't all that appealing either. The thought of walking outside and showering in the rain occurred to Sam, but if Dean ever caught him doing that, no, it wasn't worth it. He'd live with the lingering maggot sensation. Coming to the conclusion, Sam quickly changed into his t-shirt and boxers. 5 minutes later, Sam found himself in bed, under very warm covers, staring at the wooden beams along the ceiling. The tickling, crawling sensation seemed to be ever-present, along with the sounds of the fire. Sam wasn't sure, but he would have sworn that the crackling of the fire was getting louder. Drawing up his courage, Sam pushed himself onto his elbows and looked over at the fire. The fire was once again losing its flames. It needed to be stoked. But other than that, nothing about the fire had changed. Sam listened for the crackling. It was there, but it didn't seem to be any louder than he would have expected. Sam laid back in the bed with a sigh. Clearly, his fear of fires was playing with his mind. Before his brain could stop itself, a thought of, "I wish Dean were here," flitted through his head. Angry at the thought, Sam hit himself in the head with his palm as way of punishment. He was 23 years old. He didn't need his brother just because he had to sleep in a room with a working fireplace. Closing his eyes, Sam breathed deeply in an attempt to calm himself. Feeling slightly more relaxed, Sam once again opened his eyes. The fire cast the room in a red glow, flickering in the wind from the windows, and causing shadows to dance along the walls and ceiling. It was just a fire in a fireplace, non-demonic in every way. Well, except for the dead maggots. A bright light flashed outside, basking the cabin's interior in white light. A few seconds later, the room shook as the sound of thunder and an explosion rocked through the cabin's walls. Based on the explosion, Sam presumed the tree had just met its maker. He hoped Dean was okay in the car. If Dean had made it to the car. Grumbling to himself, Sam threw off the covers and padded his way over to the couch where he had thrown his jacket. Fishing through the pockets, Sam pulled out his cell phone and dialed Dean's number. Dean picked up on the first ring. "Don't even tell me that explosion involved you." Sam laughed. Clearly, Dean had been worried about him as well. No, I was just calling to see if it involved you. Sam heard his brother grumble before responding. Not even close. So how's the smell? Sam smiled and walked back over to his bed, clutching the phone to his ear. I opened the windows. It's a lot better. Forget it, Sam. You're not getting me to come back. Sam glared at the phone. I didn't ask you, asshole. He heard Dean laugh through the line. So that means what? The floor is getting soaked and every bug in the area is taking shelter in the cabin? Sam shrugged and got under the covers, sitting against the headboard. It's better than the smell. Dean gave a short laugh and Sam continued. You still nauseous? Dude, were you kidding? I'm not going to be able to eat or drink for a week. Sam went to respond, but before he could, another burst of light filled the room. The light illuminated the man who had been standing in the corner of the cabin. Sam's breath stuck in his throat as the thunder echoed through the mountains.